Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. That is our number. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll get to a couple emails today, I'm sure. 39-year high in inflation. 39 years. That's what was reported yesterday. 39 years. But it's transient, we were told, for a long, long time. 0.8% for the month of November alone. 6.8% the trailing 12 months, and obviously that is rising as the more recent numbers are higher than they were 12 months ago. And of course, for people who drive cars and eat food, the numbers are worse. Anybody involved in a restaurant or on a board of something like I am at a club understands that the cost of beef and chicken and everything, broccoli, is not up 7%. It's up 20, 30, and 40%. And yes, you can have chicken instead of beef, and so if beef is up 30%, you can get chicken up only 20%. Restaurants raise their prices $1, $2, $3, $12, $20 for a steak. And we accept it because there's so much money around. It's not the end of the world. But it feels like it's the end of Washington, D.C. pretending that throwing more money into the fire will slow down the fire. It feels different, the verbiage coming out, doesn't it? When the Federal Reserve chairman, who forever, well, invented the word transient, has said that word needs to be retired. Because, well, I guess it's not transient anymore. Throwing more money on the fire seemed like a really great idea to Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, obviously a genius. Obviously. She's back again. She was so good the first time around, we need to bring her back because, well, A, she checks the box as a woman. Bam, that's it. So she's therefore more woke than anybody else. Is she up for the job? Well, I don't know. So far, no. Clearly, no. She's cheerleading I get it, it's politics, right? Hey, my boss says we need to spend $5 trillion more than we have into an inflationary environment, and he needs me to come up with a way that that looks really good and will actually reduce inflation. Printing more money in our world means a reduction in inflation. Huh? Wow. Sorry. I'm coming back now. My head exploded temporarily. This is continuing, actually. But doesn't it feel different? Like, people are starting to ask questions like, really? So the price of beef up 30%, that's going to come down if we put more money in the system, right? How does that work? I'm not really good at math and economics and stuff, but help me here. It's being questioned. Joe Manchin has questioned it from the get-go. Good on him. Good on him. Do you really think that the swing district senators that are running for office want to put their name on that and watch inflation go through the roof in spite of their own party saying, yeah, it'll help? They know better. It's like these people are saying, yeah, you know, really, the crime rate's down in Chicago. Really? Oh, if we say something, it just is automatic. That's going to be true. It's incredible what the nonsense they're saying. But this is really, this is what's filtering out. And yes, of course, the real rate of inflation, the real cost of living is up a lot more. We're buying some furniture. I mean, we think we're going to buy furniture. If you can find it, then you can have it made, and they'll bring it in 9 months. And it'll be twice as much as it was a year ago. Oh, well, thank you for bringing it. God bless you. This is amazing. And it goes on and on and on, right? I want to go get something done. Let's say I'm going to add on to my house. Yeah, that'll only cost 60% more than it did a couple years ago. It's incredible, all the way across the board. Rents are spiking. Housing prices still aren't coming down. It is more expensive to live and getting worse. What does this mean to the markets? What does it mean? We don't know yet. We really don't know yet. So far, so good. Interest rates haven't even crept higher much, right? They've been stuck here at about 1.5% for months, even as the awareness of inflation increases and the awareness of the Federal Reserve needing to hurry up and quit doing what they're doing, which is to buy more bonds and inflate the balance sheet of the country. We don't need more liquidity in the system. We need less. And they keep buying. But at least they're talking now about speeding it up. It's a tough situation right now to sit there and say, where's inflation going to come out of this? Inflation is devastating to fixed assets. Devastating. I think the best game continues to be stocks by a long ways because corporate profits are at record levels. And that's really the 10,000-foot level you look at things. You need to look at things. We get caught in the minutia. We get caught in the people screaming and yelling for your attention, for your money, actually. Please open up your wallets and just mail a check in and be scared because gold is going through the roof or whatever it is, right? But fixed assets where people get scared, I don't know what to do, I'm going to just go to cash, are losing money very rapidly. Something we haven't seen in four decades. Inflation is here. Is it going to be long term? It could be with another $5 trillion, or is it only two? It doesn't matter if they pass a bill of $1 trillion. That's still stupid. And we're going to send checks to people to stay at home. We're going to waste money on a governmental level that is just incomprehensible. I mean, $85 billion, it's only 10%, folks, of the money was lost in fraud for unemployment checks. Don't really ask any questions. Government's fine. It's fair. Government is fair. And that's what's important. It's important that we're fair. Not fair in opportunity, fair in outcome. We take money from this person who did really good, give it to this person who's really bad, and maybe even this person just won't even work, won't do anything. They just want a life of crime. We're going to mail them checks because that's fair. That's more fair. And in the meantime, though, of course, we're going to lose a couple of dollars, $85 billion in the last year. $85 billion. And this is just like, okay. It's okay. It's what government does. We're ineffective and we lose lots of money and give us more. We need more. We need to get bigger to be more fair. That's the whole idea behind this of getting more and more and more control and something that doesn't work. We can't know what the consequences of passing this bill are, except that if it continues, it's going to be a $5 or $10 trillion fiasco over the next 10 years. Something we can't pay for, something we aren't paying for, something that just keeps getting renewed. It needs to not pass, and I don't think it will. I hope it won't pass. I pray it won't pass. If it does, it is not good for the markets because we will not have any form of transient inflation. It will be entrenched because it will become a permanent part of our economy. We have to wait and see. And this isn't being scared. Don't sit around and I got to go to cash. That's just ludicrous. In this world of record corporate profits, the ability to raise prices, if you're a corporation, it's the only game in town. The only game in town. The idea, which I'm sure you'll hear in a couple hours here, that you can have market participation without risk is lunacy. It isn't true. And when we get into fixed products in a zero interest world with inflation, it guarantees locking up your money for a 10-year period of time, you will lose. Now, if you want to lose money, just lose it short term until you get your brains back, okay? Until you're somehow not afraid of the world. Something else comes along. But don't lock it up for 10 years in a fixed equity indexed annuity. That's insane. If we truly have inflation, even more mild, if it's only 5 or 6% for a while, not hyperinflation. And let's say technology catches up and it drives it back down like it always has, right? Or the Federal Reserve quits printing money and throwing it into the fire. You will still have negative returns with inflation in fixed products. You'll have less money in 10 years than you do today. Guaranteed. Why would you do that? Don't tie it up. If you're really that scared, then you go to the sidelines and you hold cash. And yes, you lose a ton of money every year that you're sitting there. But you can change your mind and get back in investments without getting killed in penalties. That's the important part. I don't think you should do that, but there's $12 trillion. Nobody's listening to me. $12 trillion in cash. Nobody's listening to me. They're not. They're holding out in terrible fear. I know. All right, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. Hour number two, we've got obviously stocks had a great week, and I have to talk about that a little bit. My goodness gracious. Inflation, what inflation? Worried about inflation, who? Not the market. Listen to it. There's lots of pundits out there to tell you this is really, really bad. You need to buy gold. You need to buy an equity indexed annuity. It's really, really bad, which is exactly the wrong direction, right? I mean, there's no return. It's fixed. That's why it won't work. Inflation is high. And for the short term anyway, it's going higher. Right? It's going higher. And real inflation, our real costs in society are up a lot more than 6.8%, aren't they, over the last 12 months? We all know it. This is the important thing. I had a couple emails I'll talk about. One of them's a little bit longer, and we'll dive into that from last week. I never got to, but Rob sends, hi Dave, longtime listener. Absolutely love your show. Thank you for that. Just want to say I appreciate you. Each week, the crap the media spews trying to scare people, I don't fall for anymore, but it can still be stressful. Your show brings everything back in perspective each Saturday. Thanks again. You know what? The reason I wanted to really read that, I wanted to read it again because it's very nice. But I really wanted to read it and say to myself, which I say all the time, the world's okay. It's going to get better. It's not getting worse. And I know bad stuff is out there, but we get overwhelmed with it because you're right, Rob. each week the crap the media spews. They just want your eyeballs. They don't want to give you any real good information. That's not their job. Their job is to scare you so you keep watching. That's what they do to me too, right? I mean, it's, you know, we have to try to rise above this together. We do. And it reminds me how important it is that we all think about what things are working out there, because there's so much that we already know. We all know that isn't working. And sometimes we have to ask that question. What else are you going to do? Right? What else can we do with inflation running away? Interest rates rising. We need to stay in the game. Good morning, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And of course, as we always say, these are my opinions and my opinions only. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. It's a really bad idea. It's more noise, and we don't need more noise in our life. I want to start off. We're going to talk about the markets. Gee whiz, back near all-time highs, up over 3%. Are you kidding me? Seriously, we just kind of, the market went up this week. Did you think it would last week? No. So we'll get back and we'll talk about that. Yes, inflation is, it's there. And the only good news about that is that it's kind of making its way into people's lives who maybe are starting to question whether their senators and congressmen ought to be voting for more money to be thrown in the fire. Maybe it will, it really won't help the inflationary picture. Just wondering where the economic books get tossed. We live in a really weird time, so I want to start here. I'm asked this question all the time. In fact, I think about this question all the time. How do I stay optimistic? Personally, right? How am I optimistic? Number one, I'm human, just like everyone else. I'm not optimistic every single day. I'm grumpy too. Okay? Sometimes I go in a funk. Sometimes my inputs aren't the best of inputs. And I don't feel as great. But number one, first of all, I need to give credit where credit is due. This, in my mind, is a God-given thing. That you are leaning towards being optimistic or leaning towards pessimism or whatever nice word you want to put on pessimist, realist, whatever. But my job then is to take that and to actually actively cultivate it. Now, that also means I actively cultivate against the things that are really a problem for me, right? So what I'm saying is, just because you're not maybe a natural born optimist, that doesn't mean you can't be more optimistic by changing our inputs. And that's what I want to draw on here for a minute. And then I'm going to get into some things for us to be optimistic about in a world that it's tough, because every single day, every single moment, my phone's going off and telling me something bad is going on. And it's not even important. So if I don't actively cultivate positive influences, positive thought in my life, I have no chance as a human being. None. To view the world with any realism, it's all going to be negative, because that's the inputs. So when we talk about the market doing great, back near all-time highs, and you don't feel like it, you don't feel like it because nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about record corporate profits. Why is the market up so high? Well, because corporate profits are at record levels. Where should the market be? At lows? Why? I mean, that's just like the simplest input in the whole world. How are corporate profits doing? Great. Well, own stocks then. Boom. End of story. Well, what about? And then we come up with 25 reasons why this is a horrible idea. And everybody can come up with it. And they think they're really smart. And we can all have really great discussions about how stupid Joe Biden is. And he is. How moronic the idea is of printing more money is going to actually lower inflation. Who are these economists? They're not economists. They're political shills. Get them away from our children in the universities, for gosh sakes. They completely make stuff up. Like socialism's really kind of okay. No, it's not. It's the fairest system. No, it's not. Stop it. It leads to horrifying things. Always has. Always will. Never, ever does it turn out good. I mean, never. But that's what they teach. So we have to get away from that and think about amazing things. Like this. Not the government, a guy decides it might be a good idea if we had high-speed internet all around the globe, no matter where you were, from the North Pole to the South Pole, to the middle of the desert, to the bottom of these canyons, every single place, high-speed internet. Do you think that within 100 years, the permitting would be done by NASA, by some government somewhere? Yeah, maybe. Considering California can't even, with $1 billion sitting in the bank, come up with permitting over a 10-year period to put a high-speed train in. They don't have to pay for it, but they can't even get the permitting done in 10 years. 10 years. Yeah, government's good. They're so good. It's so fair. It's so wonderful. It works beautifully. A guy. That's the world we're living in now. Governments are inept. They're stupid. They're full of stupid people. And they can't do anything well. Nothing. And yes, we keep moving and asking to be more and more and more centralized. Less and less and less freedom. All of that is true. All of that is true. Because it's all a good idea. But amidst that, we don't have to look very far to say, like him or hate him, Elon Musk just launched a bunch of satellites. It's not there yet, but it's almost there yet. I'll always remember wondering if the world was ending or some kind of military activity or what was going on when my bride and I happened to be looking up at the sky one night and saw SpaceX, as it turned out, because we Googled it later. Isn't that cool, right? We're like, what was that? Are we going to die? It was really kind of weird. I'm just saying, it was really weird. It was SpaceX launching more and more and more and more satellites. Hundreds have been put up. Hundreds more will be. And high-speed internet will be available everywhere because there are entrepreneurs that just go get it done. And we want to hate them? It's a weird world. But instead of focusing on what's wrong with our government and arguing about politics, how about we just stop and go, isn't that cool? That's pretty amazing. That's really amazing. And climate change is another thing. When we actually look at things in a long-term context, holy cow, forest fires are way down. They actually are. They actually are. I know, you don't have to believe me. That's okay. And what about the idea of growing crops indoors? It's been crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's taken off. And we have so much debt out there, and that's what all the doomsdayers focus on, all the debt. How about all the assets, too? Because when we look at that together, it's not as bad a picture. But I also draw back to this, because we're in this inflationary time. We have to have these inputs. We have to understand what's really going on. So if you're on the left, you think you're going to die of COVID. You have no rational understanding of COVID. You don't. I'm sorry. Statistics show it. Study after study shows that. Okay, and I don't mean all, okay? But the vast majority of Democrats think that COVID is much more deadly than it is, particularly for young people. Particularly for young people. They want the schools closed. They think it's okay. It's totally not okay. It totally makes no sense. But why is this important? Is this a political statement? Why am I going in this direction? This is important to understand and be more optimistic about the future because and particularly the markets. Because if we can really understand not what we want to understand about something, but we can actually see the data, the math, the real world as it is, we might get a better handle on what's going to happen in the economy. And whether Joe and his crazy loons that want to take over your life are wanting to shut down, will that be accepted by the public? You know, round five of a shutdown that hasn't worked. Let's do it again and again and again. I know it doesn't work, but that's okay because we get people to wear masks and pretty soon we're going to have them putting their finger in their nose when they walk around because we'll tell them they need to do that and they'll do it because we'll scare them. That if they don't put their finger in their nose and walk around that way, they could die of COVID, even if it's not true. Here's the facts, and I know it's hard sometimes with numbers, so you might want to write this down because it's important for us to understand. It's a simple thing. I'm just going to give you a couple of numbers, okay? The share of population of people who are over the age of 50 in this country are 38% of the population. There's not that many of us. Two-thirds of the population is less than 50. But 93% of the deaths come from that group. Call it one-third, has 93% of the deaths. This is not a problem for people under 50 at all. Now, that is not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's data. And I'll tell you from who in a moment, because I've got one more. The share of population that's 85 years old and older is 2%. Two. And they're more than a fourth of the deaths from COVID. If you don't have anything wrong with you, and you're not old, and old, you got nothing to fear, according to the far right-wing radical site, the CDC. That's right, the CDC put these numbers out. When's the last time ABC, CBS, NBC, on and on, MSNBC, CNN told you that? They told you to be afraid of Omicron, which could be the beginning of the end of coronavirus as we know it. This is why, as we roll this back, you're listening to a financial program. Yes, you are. Why? Because we have to look at data. We have to look at the numbers. It's the real numbers, not my political opinion, that coronavirus is not going to shut down the economy again, that the corporate profits that are exploding will continue to explode until further notice. But it's not going to be because of Omicron. It's not going to be because of Corona, because we're not going to shut down anymore because these numbers are leaking out. They've been out. The CDC puts them out. But the CDC doesn't want to talk about it, and Fauci doesn't want to talk about it. No, we don't want to talk about it. This is a disease virtually 100% of old people and people that have a lot of comorbidities. I don't mean that they ought to die. But the idea that healthy young people really need to alter their behavior is crazy. They shouldn't be spending money. They shouldn't be gathering together. Girls shouldn't be meeting boys, and boys shouldn't be meeting girls ever again. That's crazy. But that's what we're doing. And when we think about it, what does that mean to the economy? See, if you're going to be trying to actually understand the world and what things are happening in the world, we have to get beyond the screaming headlines to say, wow, there's like rich billionaires launching rockets into space. That's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming, isn't it? Wow, we created a vaccine in a year. Like it or don't, anti-vax or love them, doesn't matter to me. How about that they're using the science of all this to advance medicine in every single area? Wow. That's going to be great because I know I don't remember stuff as well as I used to, and I'm scared to death of sitting in a chair not knowing who I am. I don't want that. Please cure that. Thank you. This is the kind of stuff that's coming. Final thing here. Look at this. See, this is why they're not going to shut down the schools either, right? And someday they'll take the masks off even in like New York City public schools, okay? Even maybe in Seattle. One more quick set of numbers. For children under the age of 18, those infected with the flu and those infected with COVID, that unfortunately, I mean, it's just very, very, very rare. Part of the reason they've never shut down the schools for flu. Never, once. Because it's 99.99% of the people recover under the age of 18. 99.99 if you have the flu. But we shut down for COVID, which is 99.998. What does that mean? It's five times less deadly than the flu. I'm sorry, that's just the facts. That's math. I'm sorry, teachers' associations. I'm sorry, teachers' union. I'm sorry for the lockdown people that really, 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 really want to scare people into not opening. Keep them at home. Keep them locked down. Don't tell them what's going on. Don't tell them what's being taught. It's all up to us. We teach the children. That the fact is, and the facts are getting out, and we have the data. Again, this is from the far right-wing conspiracy group, the CDC. That COVID for children under the age of 18 is five times less deadly than the flu. Five times less. And by the way, 99.99% is nothing we've ever shut anything down for, and that's the flu. It's not deadly for children. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. How do we stay optimistic? God, we just look at the world. We look at this great country. We look at the great stuff that they're doing. Entrepreneurs. The air's getting cleaner. Yeah, it is. The world is getting richer. It is. People aren't starving like they used to. That's true. It's amazing when we just take a step back and look at it. And what's coming? Wow. 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 This is why we keep moving forward. And that's why we got to focus on those inputs. Give us a call at 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Speaking of which, let's go to an email. Now, this one was kind of an exchange from last week. Converting an IRA to a Roth IRA. So Fred wonders about whether it makes sense with Congress talking about in their 5,000 to 6,000 page bills, whether he should go ahead and do it now before it's too late. Fair question. Super fair question. So what we have, though, let me go ahead and read this, and then we'll and I'll talk a little bit about it, okay? So it's hard to know what will finally emerge from Congress, but with 5,000 to 6,000 page bills, you can sure sneak a lot of stuff in. There seems to be consensus of opinion in current political circles that the ability to shift money from a regular IRA to a Roth must go away. Even though originally that was trying to get people to push their tax brackets forward, right? And that's true. That was one of the original reasons. Also, it was designed, remember, for up to $5,000 to be put away, and now it's $6,000-$7,000 as inflation's picked up. But if you make a lot of money, you can't do a Roth. It was meant for lower income individuals to be able to set aside money tax favorably for the long term. Back in a day when I think some politicians at least thought it was a good idea for people to become independent, that was actually what they were striving to do, is to create more freedom for people, more economic freedom, than to be dependent on a government. Due to recent changes in my situation, my tax bracket will probably increase this year. Okay, this makes the Roth conversion more costly, but probably as low as it will ever be given the profligate spending in D.C. So even with a higher tax bill, it seems like something to pursue, given that it may no longer be an option come next year. At the same time, there really is no guarantee that Congress won't start taxing Roth IRAs, so who can tell? With inflation, everyone's tax bracket will be creeping up too. As you can see, I'm not a natural optimist. This is one of the reasons I appreciate your show so much. Fred, thank you, and great question, complicated, of course, and we can't know the future of tax brackets, your future, how long you're going to last, when you're going to need this money or want this money. All these things are up in the air, which, of course, affects the ultimate outcome. So the best we can do is, in my mind, is to stay with what's right in front of our faces. Now, I'm not saying that the tax brackets won't go higher, but I would not be doing it in the year that I was absolutely certain I would be paying at a higher tax bracket than, say, next year. Now, if you want to try to do it next year versus this year, if this is the year where you have a big jump in your taxable income, or I prefer actually to do it over in stages, right? Say, let's say you're trying to get $100,000 moved over to a Roth. Then maybe for you to stay in a lower tax bracket, you may be able to add $25,000. So do it over a four-year period. Maybe it's less than that. Maybe it's more than that. But you want to try to keep your tax brackets down. This is a tough one to just make go away. So I think there's time. I don't know. And also, I tell this to clients all the time. You may have heard me say it here. They are actually... Washington, D.C. right now looks so absurd. It's really a cartoon. We need to raise taxes on billionaires. What does that look like? Well, we're going to have a wealth tax. What does that look like? Well, that won't work. We need to have a carbon tax. Nobody likes that because it raises taxes of fuel. We need to not allow Roth conversions. We're going to tax Roths. We're going to tax air. We're going to tax water. We need to tax this. We need to tax that. I mean, they're convulsing. They're just barfing all over each other. It's absurd. It's a cartoon. They don't have a plan. The plan is take your money, and then we'll dole it out to who we want to. That's the sad part of this. We're going to change estate taxes. We're going to do a step-up basis. No, we won't. Yes, we will. No, we won't. Let's go over and try this. And they just keep trying. It's just as if your money is their money, and then they'll give you back some in the form of some benefits somewhere. It's insane behavior. And Fred, this is so crazy. I just don't even see how they can cover this up. The whole insanity of it is just weird. They just try trial balloon after trial balloon. Well, we're going to tax this. If you buy a dog, you got to pay a tax on that. People will accept that, won't they? I don't know. Is that practical? How many billions will that raise? It just is weird. And so don't overreact. That's the only thing I keep saying. Wait. We don't know what's going to happen. Every day they come up with another Looney Tune idea. They really do. This is not a political statement. It's just the facts. These people have no idea. They have no plan except to try to take over as much of the economy as quickly as possible because they can't get it done at the voting booth. Because we don't want this stuff. We don't want more government. Some do. But we certainly don't want it more centralized. I mean, when people begin to understand how detached Washington, D.C. is from, say, what we ought to be doing here in Boise, or even better, what they ought to be doing, say, in Middleton. Council, do you really think that they've been there and understand? Nobody does. Nobody thinks that's a good idea. Well, I mean, the Looney Tunes that want to take over your life do, but most people, real people, don't. This is just can't come out as we're just going to raise money wherever we can because it's really ours. And I think we have to wait and see and then react. So, Fred, I would not overreact. I know there's only a couple weeks left in the year, 3 weeks left. Man, I just can't believe they're going to get this done and have a tax bill and all that stuff because Christmas is just around the corner. And it is fading in popularity. It's fading in practical application. Be careful. Don't overreact. That's my advice. And if you want to do a little, do a little. But let's make a plan over time. That's what I'd do, Fred. All right. Thanks so much for the email. It's dave@petzelfinancial.net. Our phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Gary, hang on. I'll get you on the other side of Fox News. We'll be right back. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Okay, Gary, hang on one second. This is just too funny. I have to read this. This is great. Ken, thank you. Dave, first, let me say I love your show and listen religiously. Now a mild rebuke. You say that for children, COVID is 5 times less deadly than the flu. I did say that. And it's true, except, well, anyway. I think you mean 1/5 as deadly. While I hear this times less phrasing often, it is not mathematically possible. Ask yourself, what is 1 times less? I'll keep listening. Ken, thanks so much. I appreciate that. I will work on my grammar, okay? You're right. I'm not a mathematical genius, but that you're right. It doesn't make sense. So it's 1/5 as deadly to children. There you go. Okay. Thank you very much for the correction. Let's go to the phones, and our number is 580-KIDO. Gary, thank you for calling and holding.
Yeah. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I'm pushing 70, so I was a gas station attendant during the Arab oil embargo.
Oh,
and
boy.
This is reminiscent of the Carter inflation years when I was a young married, so this is deja vu all over again for me.
Mm-hmm.
And As a reminder, on eBay years ago, I went and purchased a couple bills, banknotes. And so you are talking to a multi-trillionaire because I have a Zimbabwe $100 trillion note. It's a beautiful note, and it's not worth a whole bunch.
No. Also, no, it's a little less than that in dollars, or American dollars, currently.
Yeah, yeah, quite a bit. I also have banknotes from 1923 Weimar Germany. Mm. One of them was printed on just one side to save ink. Another one was a 5,000 Reichsmark note, which was overprinted in red to be 5 million. So it went through the printing press after they recalled it, and they increased its value by a 1,000 times.
Wow.
So a couple of things I'd like you to comment on. I believe it was Milton Friedman who said that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary problem, not a fiscal problem. And although I am no fan of Comrade Biden, I don't think he gets all the blame because there's been deficit spending going on for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And from the stock point of view, I learned a new term. Have you heard that TINA term now?
Yes,
T-I-N-A?
I have.
T-I-N-A?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was very well done. There is no alternative mm-hmm. except for equities.
Yes.
So if you can talk about Milton Friedman a little bit, and now maybe we're getting too far deep, but let's see what we can do there. And thank you so much for your program.
I thank you so much for the question and the comments. Let me put it this way, and then you can certainly chime in, okay? I'm going to use a couple of recent charts here to help out all of us, okay? And we do want to keep this at a very low level, okay? Because economics and Milton Friedman, already people are going, you know what I mean? It's just we've lost everybody already. I get that because it's complicated and it's boring, okay? to sit here and talk about it. I don't think it's boring, but it's but for a lot of people it is. We just want to understand the markets and general things. We want to look at the world from a 10,000 foot level. This is getting in the weeds, but it's important at times to get in the weeds. Now, what I focus on over the long run, okay, is money supply, and it's M2 money supply. That's the same thing Friedman's saying. Is it if we're printing more money and there's more money in circulation, that is a monetary problem, and that's what inflation is, right? Okay?
Right.
So what we have done is unprecedented. Now, I want to say this in a very careful way. I heard somebody say this week, okay? One of the best economists in the world. Actually, he's very decorated. I don't just think he is. He is the best economist in the world. Westbury said this. Brian Westbury, who CNBC won't have on because he disagrees with, he says what's on his mind, and he's not he doesn't pull any punches in a woke way. He talks about this all the time, that the M2 money supply is up 25%. It's unprecedented, and unprecedented means not we've done this rarely. It means it's never been done. Okay, it's never been done. Unprecedented isn't a rare occurrence. It's an only occurrence. We've never done this. And we have pushed up money supply now over 30% since the beginning of coronavirus. That's too much. We don't know what's going to happen. So, Gary, let me just say we're getting exactly what we all should have known was going to happen. Too much money, chasing too few goods because we turned the lights out, is going to cause inflation, period. Now, can we drain some of that back? Hopefully we will. Slow down the growth. So the Federal Reserve is going to put us into a painful circumstance. If we just shut it off, then we go into a recession. Nobody's going to do that. They would rather have inflation than recession. But we've got to dial this back. The good news is they are dialing it back. It's still growing at ridiculous levels, all-time high levels, every single day. But at least they're now talking about it. So absolutely, M2 is growing too fast. Further, if you want to throw more dollar bills, trillion-dollar bills on the fire, government spending is spiking out of control. Far higher spending. Far more than the GDP. Far bigger percentage of all of government is in government now. We're now spending 30% of GDP. We've never even come close to this. LBJ, in his wildest dreams, his wildest socialist dreams, didn't come up with numbers like this, okay? And you're right, it's both parties. But as you put it, Comrade Joe wants to amp it up even more, and that's the danger, super danger, that we're in. Do you realize during World War II, we never spent more than 10% of GDP during World War II? Unbelievable what we're doing now. And we're basically at peace. So this is unprecedented. I'm concerned, but I'm most concerned not just with overall money supply. I'm concerned because the government's printing it and spending it, meaning they're wasting it, and we're not getting productivity out of it. And it's out of control, and there's actually a large faction of this country that thinks that's a good thing to do. But there's also all of us are becoming very, very aware that inflation is way above, quotes, the trend line, way above 2%. It's not even at 6 or 7%. It's higher because that's the real world we all live in, not the government-controlled numbers world that they pretend it is. But let's not forget this. Inflation is also being brought and has been brought for decades more and more under control because of productivity gains, meaning technology is doing so much better in our lives that it continues to drive those costs down for things we don't think about. Computing power. I have less administrative staff to handle stuff at the office, just like every other business, right? Nobody files anymore, that kind of stuff, right? DocuSigns, all those things that add productivity off the charts, bring our costs down. We have less administrative staff with five times the number of the amount of business that we had 20 years ago. That's a stunning thing, and that's across all industries. So you're right, Gary, but technology is helping us all bring those costs down as well.
Yeah, it's actually hiding some of the inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Without going too far into Friedman, he did come up with a very interesting statement comparing inflation to alcoholism. Are you familiar with that?
No, that sounds very good. I'm going to write that down.
Okay. Briefly, he says, initially, as you start drinking, the effects feel really nice. Later and later, as you get into this disease, things get worse. And when you try to get away from it, then you initially feel very bad. So it's easy to get into, hard to get out of. And he said inflation is the same way.
Very good. It's a great analogy. Good. Gary, thank you. Anything else?
Thank you. No, I could go on and on, but because having lived through this stuff before, it's like, okay, we've been here before. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your call. Very good. Thanks. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's go to Terry. Terry.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
I'm sorry I can't deal with all the deep thinking going on here, but I'll go back to a documentary movie. It's called Idiocracy. Rerun gonna get his money.
Say that again?
Rerun gonna get his money. It's the president, you know, gonna, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
If you watch Idiocracy, it makes a whole bunch more
Who
sense.
Was Rerun? I remember that, but I can't picture it right now.
He was the guy in charge, the nominal, what, called president, quote-unquote.
Oh, okay, okay. He's going to get his money. I like that. That's good. You're right.
It's
actually all of your money, and I'll give some back.
Yeah, and, well, you're tight with these Congress critters after your show a couple of weeks ago. Talk to them.
Yeah. Hey, didn't you think that was a really good example of how good our Congress people are? Didn't they? I thought they just shined really well.
Yeah, Mr. Fulcher impresses me. The other fella, no, not so much. But that's only been going on a long time here. So.
Gotcha. Okay, well.
But, again, my question still comes back to my public education is lacking in the actual mechanics of this to take the money out of circulation. Can you go into that and try to help me out a little bit here?
They could, but they're not going to. They could actually shrink the money supply, right? Okay, so what are they doing right now? They print it, they buy bonds, and they just put it on the balance sheet, okay? They could actually reverse everything and pull money supply out. Okay, and occasionally they did, right? Very occasionally, Paul Volcker did. He crushed the economy, right? And he crushed inflation. It was really a frightening time. Very, very bold. It was correct to do. It wasn't just unprecedented. Let's try it. He did it, and it worked incredibly well. And we got our country back from the 1970s. It was unbelievable. He and Reagan were unbelievable.
These idiots wanted to put the Social Security money in the lockbox.
But it's not. We are run by a bunch of idiots. That's true. And bureaucrats are idiots by design. They don't operate in a real world, and they think they're very smart. They really do, and this is a problem. The markets are smart. The markets handle. We're going to put out on our website this next week an essay by Leonard Reed. This is back in the 1950s. It's called I, Pencil. It's basically about a pencil. And you sit here and think about a pencil. All right, well, why is that interesting? Okay. Well, think about what goes into a pencil. Can you make a pencil? I can't make a pencil. I'll bet you can't make a pencil either. Where are you going to get the lead? Somebody's out making the lead. Somebody's out cutting down trees. So think about cutting down trees. The lumberjack has to go have equipment to cut down the trees. They got to also pull it out of the woods, bring it in, mill it, and then put it over into the pencil factory. Trucks truck it. All these things. There's literally millions and millions of decisions made by the markets that bureaucrats think they can do. They can't. About 10 things in our head at once. The market's doing it all the time.
Let's go back to the space program where we wanted something that would write in space, and we put in millions of dollars into a space pen when the Russians just gave them a pencil.
Yeah. That's right. That's a great analogy. I like it. So
I'm sorry. I'm a simpleton. I like things easy.
Yeah. So it's
your optimist thing.
Mm-hmm.
An optimist says the glass is half full. The pessimist says the glass is half empty. The realist says you have 50% too much glass.
There you go.
Okay. Well, on that, sir, I'll let you get back to work.
I appreciate it, Terry. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Bye now. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We're out of here. We're out of time. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend.